We've been doing the series, His Hour Has Come. We had part one last week, which was called The Servant of Servants. And we found out, or we made a startling discovery from Scripture, unless you already knew it. I didn't know it. But I found out where it tells us in the Bible that Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. And after that, He poured water into a basin and He began to wash His disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. And we discovered a deep symbolism that perhaps you, like me, never heard before, that Jesus actually sat in the position of authority and power at the Last Supper. And it literally says He got up from that seat of authority. He took off His kingly garments and He knelt down on the ground and put a towel around His waist. And no longer was the King of Kings. He became the servant of servants, and He washed the disciples' feet. And so when we do foot washing, it just isn't a menial, hospitable task we're doing. It is much deeper than that. We're reenacting what Jesus did in order to gain our salvation. And so we're going to continue with that today as we do part two. I'm sure you all know Mother Teresa. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for humbling Yourself so amazingly and lowering Yourself to the very point where I was so that You could interact with me personally. And You could convey to me in graphic, real terms that I'm important to You, even though in my mind I don't see my value. And now as we plumb the depths further today, Lord, I pray You bring the point home even more specifically this week as You did last week as we look at this topic, foot washing. Lord, let the peace of heaven rest on this congregation. Let it have a calming effect that we can clearly hear and react exactly the way You want us to from the beautiful gospel that everything You did conveyed. Now use me in spite of me, Lord, to be a blessing so that no one in this congregation would leave here without knowing that there's hope with You no matter what you're facing. So bless to this end by sending the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother Teresa visited Phoenix in 1989 because she was in the process of opening a home for the poor in Phoenix, Arizona. She flew all the way from Calcutta and came all the way there to promote this very worthy cause. During that brief visit, she was interviewed by KTAR, the largest radio station in town. In a private moment, though, the announcer asked Mother Teresa if there was anything he could do for her. He was expecting her to request a contribution or maybe media attention to help her raise money for her new home for the needy in Phoenix. Instead, she replied, "Yes, there is something you can do for me. Find somebody nobody else loves and love them." And this, to me, encapsulates exactly who my God really is. And so we're going to look at part two today. Folks, take the plunge. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John the 13th chapter. Children, open your Bibles. I want you to follow along as we read this most incredible story and we add to what we had last week and what we're having next week. John the 13th chapter, we're going to start with verse 1, review what we covered last week and go over what we're going to do today. Do you have John? 13. Okay, I'm not rushing, but I want you to hurry. Verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come and that He should depart from this world to His Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand and that He had come from God and was going to God, He rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel, and He girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. And then He came to Simon Peter. And Simon said to Him, "Lord, You are washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." But Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed need only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray Him. Therefore He said, "You are not all clean." Are you ready? I want you to know that Peter vehemently opposed Jesus touching his feet. Yes, I know it says here, the Lord, in the New King James, "Lord, You are washing my feet." In the King James, "Lord, dost Thou wash my feet?" But when we look more deeply into this, you will see that this was not an act of humility at all on the part of Peter. Did you know that? In fact, we're going to see that it's absolute defiance in what Jesus was performing. How do I know that? Well, first of all, I want you to know that Peter emphatically refused to let Jesus wash his feet. That's the premise. Because the present tense of the verb washing implies that Jesus had already started to wash his feet. He made the move to do the washing. But in Peter's response, the "you" immediately preceding "my" in the Greek places the pronoun in sharp contrast, meaning my. You're not touching my feet. You may have done these others, but you're not doing my feet. And if you want a little bit more of evidence here, be as surprised as I was. Review and Herald, July 5th, 1898. She said, when Peter's turn came, he utterly refused to allow Christ to touch his feet. And I go, Peter, thank you. Obnoxious Peter, the impulsive one. As I was reading through this and trying to see the deeper meaning that I sensed is found here in this beautiful sacrament that Jesus instituted. In fact, three parts doesn't do it justice. You see, for years and years and years, it was the Passover. But at this moment, Jesus rejected the Passover and instituted the sacrament of foot washing and communion to take the place. Not to go along with. To take the place of the Passover. Which called all the attention to the angel passing over because of the blood on the doorpost of and lintels of the house. In Egypt, Passover. Instead, the foot washing and communion point forward to something more special. And I say, way to go, Peter, you meathead. You're just like me. Impulsive, always open your mouth. And all of a sudden I thought something. What disciple is mentioned more than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Peter, why? He always opened his mouth. But every time he did, we gleaned more information. And I'm thanking him for this because now we're entering a new phase, new depth into the absolute symbolism of this incredible sacrament that Jesus instituted to take the place of Passover as we look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Peter opened his mouth. Folks, when Peter's turn came, he utterly refused to allow Jesus to touch his feet. You're not touching my feet. By the way, have you read your Desire of Ages? Do you know that while he was washing Judas's feet before he came to Peter, you know, Judas wanted to be number one. Jesus washed his feet first. And while he was washing his feet, he saw the love in Jesus' eyes and he desired to make things right. But he was too prideful to do anything about it. And he went out because that act of humility by Jesus offended Judas. Because that didn't fit into the profile that he had set for Christ. Figuring he would be the prime minister of Christ's kingdom. And I don't want to serve any prime minister who gets down and washes people's feet. Peter emphatically said, don't touch me. By the way, notice he said, Lord. Lord, don't touch me. Lord, which recognizes his authority. He didn't say teacher, which occasionally had called Jesus rabbi. He called him Lord. Well, then Peter found out something. What I am doing to you, you do not understand now. Jesus deliberately placed the I and the you in equal emphasis for contrast. And I like this because Jesus was speaking that when he said, what I am doing is a present active indicative, he meant what I am doing and continue to do. Don't miss that. You do not perceive it. I use the word perceive now. He actually called to Peter's attention the ignorance that Peter had of the significance of the divine act Jesus was performing. Get this in your head. When you wash someone's feet, we are playing the part of Christ. We don't become little Christs. We are playing the part of Christ. And he pointed out by saying this, what I am doing, you do not understand now. You do not perceive now. And finally, Jesus was well aware of what he was doing while Peter was not. You got that? And then he went on and Jesus said this, but you will know after this. And the Young's literal translation says, but thou shalt know after these things. Have you ever looked at that? You know, my King James says after this. But that says after these things. And I started thinking about that. What did Jesus mean? The first know, what I am doing now, you do not perceive. The first know actually means penetrating beneath the surface of the meaning. It's a special word in the Greek. It's not like, well, I know you. That is a mental conscious process. You just know something. This is, you really know it. What I'm doing to you, you do not know now. But you will know, understand, after this. The second know, Peter would know hereafter, after these things, the entire sweep of Jesus' atonement. Folks, don't miss that. The foot washing is not just an act of washing the feet. The foot washing is actually a declaration by Jesus Christ of a commitment that He's going to fulfill the whole process of the atonement. Remember, as He's kneeling down washing the disciples' feet, and we learned last week they were in the process of fighting and arguing, remember? Who's going to be the greatest? Here Christ is facing Gethsemane. He's facing Herod. He's facing Pilate. He's facing Caiaphas and Annas. He's being whipped twice. He is mocked. He is spit upon. He is slapped. He is stripped. They put a crown of thorn on his head and then hit the head so that the spikes go deep into his skull. Then he's going to hang on a cross, which is the cruelest form of death that you can be consigned to by the Romans. And Jesus is washing their feet to calm them down from their fight. I thought I'd have got up and said, you know what, forget this group. I'm going to go somewhere else. After these things, you will know. After you see the commitment I have to you, you will understand. This is a guarantee that I will follow through for your future blessing for eternity. When we wash one another's feet, we're making a pledge to that brother or that sister. Peter, thank you. The only problem with being like me, Peter, is you're embarrassed later on, even though you're helpful. And so, then Peter says, you shall never wash my feet. Now, do you remember at the beginning, this wasn't an act of humility. How do I know this? I gave you a little bit of evidence. Here's some more. You shall never, after what Jesus said, he still said, you shall never wash my feet. But I want you to check this out. Ume. Ume are two Greek words found next to each other. And it means no, no. Never, never. Not just no. Not just never. But never, never will you wash my feet. See, this wasn't an act of humility. This was an act of rebellion on Peter's part. For whatever reason, I mean, first of all, think they were all embarrassed that none of them did the act that they should have done, and Jesus did it to them, but the others evidently didn't complain, but Peter did. Peter showed the pride in his heart. And by this conversation, we get a deeper understanding of what goes on when we wash each other's feet. When I was reading through this and preparing for this, I'll tell you, my heart went out to the other Christians who don't know this and are not experiencing what Jesus meant them to experience. It's just like the Sabbath versus Sunday. Sunday can never bring the blessing that Sabbath can, even if you're sincere, because it is not the day that God blessed, even though He may accept your ignorance. A double negative emphasizes Peter's determination to have his will and reject God's will. By his words, Peter boldly proclaimed what the Son of God could and could not do to him. That really cut me. I thought, Lord, where do I fit into this? You know, when I used to read this, Peter was just being humble. And now I see he was being defiant. Where am I like that, Lord? You got to tell me. Wait till you see what he says to Peter. Peter even dropped the title Lord. Notice, he didn't say Lord or teacher. He just said, never, never will you wash my feet. Remember, pride despises help. And God was offering, Jesus was offering to Peter the very help he needed. And the other disciples, and they, none of them understood, but Peter was rejecting it. Well, then, here's what Jesus said. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. The unpardonable sin. Now you start to see a deeper meaning of the foot washing. For when you are baptized, it's a symbol that you've given your life to Christ and the sins have been washed away. But here we are at a communion service that he's just instituting, and he's teaching his disciples about it. And he says, if I do not wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. And no one that I could find argues with what Jesus meant by that. You know what he meant? The consequences for refusing was the forfeit of heaven. This is frustrating for me. Thank you. I can no longer read my notes with my eyesight. I can only read the screen. Part is a technical term meaning an inheritance. See, I didn't know this stuff. If you do not let me wash my feet, you lose your inheritance. each believer must personally participate in foot washing. Even though the Savior had acknowledged His devotion, and you can find just for example Matthew 16:16-19, and had ordained Him as an apostle, He knew Peter needed need of foot washing to maintain His continual part with Him to keep the inheritance. Whoa. Lord, I didn't know this stuff. And so we find in Desire of Ages this quote, "The service which Peter refused was the type of a higher cleansing." Christ had come to wash the heart from the stain of sin, and refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the lower. He was really rejecting the Lord. "I don't like your method. I'm not in agreement with it. You will never, never wash my feet." He was really rejecting the Lord. It is not humiliating to the Master to allow Him to work for our purification. Folks, you feel dirty? If you do, Jesus loves to cleanse you. Jesus wants to cleanse us. And the foot washing entails all of this, and I think at this point I'm only scratching the surface. The truest humility is to receive with thankful hearts any provision made in our behalf, and with earnestness do service for Christ. And so Peter's not done yet. At this point he is convinced though, and he says, "Lord." And guess what came back, folks? Do you catch that? The word "Lord" came back now. "Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head." And I'm telling you, I don't know how many times I've said that to Jesus. And I meant it. And Peter meant it. But look what Jesus said to him. This is astounding. "He who is bathed, been baptized, need only to wash his feet, but is completely clean." Here's the higher and the lower. Look at this. By Jesus' statement, He linked baptism with the foot washing. Baptism is the single act, while foot washing must be repeated. One stands at the commencement of discipleship and signals the passage of the believer from death into life, while the other is the means of maintaining his growth thereafter. Unless the two rites work together, he will have no part with the King in His kingdom of glory. Folks, it's puzzled me ever since I've been a Seventh-day Adventist why so many people avoid the communion service. And I used to tell them, "You're missing a blessing." I knew that, but I had never known the seriousness of it. Yes, God winks at our ignorance. But you know, this is no longer the time of ignorance. In fact, may I say, the time of ignorance has passed. Jesus is on the portals of heaven to come here anytime now soon. And it's time that we get our acts together. And that includes me. Lord, not just my feet. Do my head, my heart, my hands. And when we cry out to Jesus that way, He loves to purify us. He loves to clean us. And I decided I'm going to communion. Even if I don't think I'm worthy of communion, I don't think anybody is worthy of communion except Jesus. By the way, after Jesus was done, who washed His feet? Who? No one. Why? No one washed His feet because He was pure. They could not wash it. He can get baptized to be an example to His followers, but when it comes to the foot washing, it would have indicated something completely false. He needed no foot washing because He was pure. But He washed all the disciples' feet, even the one who betrayed Him. Do you feel like you betrayed Jesus? I want you to know Jesus is washing your feet. And then He's instituted this sacrament so we can do it to one another. And how I wish the other Christians knew this so they could do it. And so Jesus, here's what He said. He said, "For I have given you an example." What? "That you should do what I have done to you." That's Jesus' commandment to us, folks. The foot washing is more incredible than we ever thought and more important. And we've got to include more people in communion so that they can feel that cleansing that was meant by the water. Do you realize that anyone who says, "Well, I don't do the foot washing, but I take the bread and the wine." Well, it was the foot washing that purified you so you could get the bread and wine. And we got to help people understand this so that they can get all the benefits that they want. The Doge Palace, Palazzo Ducale, in Venice, is the residence of all the Doges of Venice. And by the way, they were the supreme authorities of the former Republic of Venice, the Doges. And in that beautiful, incredible building, full of art of all kinds, is the Grand Council Chamber, where 2,000 aristocrats would meet to deal with the business at hand, with the Doge being at the front. Now, on three sides of this Grand Council Chamber, in what is called the Great Hall, they were lined with portraits of the Doges, all 76 of them, who ruled there, except one. See, I want you to look really carefully, and I'm sure you can't, but notice these murals up here. 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, But we go a little bit farther and we come to this mural. And notice one of the two spaces is blank. This was the place of Mario Fellini. Because he was beheaded for his crimes and recognized for disgracing and betraying his city, they refused to put his portrait on the wall. And when I read this, I thought, of Judas. And then I thought of Peter Neri. I want my portrait on Jesus' grand council room. I want to be there. I hope you do too. We must avail ourselves to all the facilities that Jesus has provided for us to maintain our commitment we made when we were baptized. Father, I thank you for the challenge of the hour, for helping us to plumb the depths a little bit deeper of the foot washing, and what a beautiful, symbolic, incredible sacrament that it is. And that you would help all of us to make an effort not only to participate, but also help other people to know and experience this. Hey, come to my church next Sabbath. We're going to wash feet. What, are you crazy? Yeah, come on. You got to see this. And let me show you in the Bible what it says about the foot washing. So, Lord, help us to take this beautiful sacrament that you instituted for our continued commitment to our baptism to you, and help us to use it as an evangelistic tool. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.